Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of four episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
It's a pretty grim sight to see really good, young, healthy-looking kids with so much fear, so much anxiety, so much wonder of what is next.
We are people of compassion, and we are people of law. But there is nothing compassionate about the failure to enforce immigration laws.
Deporting people, in some cases, back to certain death.
No decent human being could defend that. So Jeff Sessions did.
This is inhumane. I'd like to say it's un-American, but it's happening right now in America.
Hey, TrumpCast listeners, Jason here, producer of the show, and we have a special episode for you today, a reading by our very own Dahlia Lithwick. Earlier this week, you may or may not have seen Dahlia's moving story leading Slate's homepage, but it's an urgent piece of writing at a time when many of us need it. According to the AP, nearly 2,000 kids have been separated from their families at the border as the administration's so-called crackdown on illegal immigration continues. This, combined with the denial of asylum for victims of domestic abuse, the ramping up of the investigations around the president, the circus of the Stormy Daniels case, and all the other stuff, it's a lot to carry around in our heads. But as Dahlia's story leads, it's all too much, but we still have to care. So here's Dahlia reading her story from earlier this week.
As a purely descriptive matter, it's surely true. We are all going numb. As Donald Trump makes war with Canada and peace with dictators and human rights abusers, the narrative is that everyone's lost all feeling. Polls show the public believes that Trump paid off a porn star, and they don't care. They believe that he lies habitually, and they also don't care. A Pew poll released last week shows that nearly 7 in 10 Americans, quote, feel worn out by the amount of news there is these days, which is how we end up with real journalists like Chuck Todd pushing a humorous pharmaceutical solution to the problem of constant breaking news destroying our minds. On Monday alone, we learned that the Trump administration is planning to denaturalize U.S. citizens who, it claims, fraudulently obtain citizenship. Also on Monday, America witnessed a change in immigration policy that will deny asylum to women fleeing domestic abuse on the grounds that it's a, quote, private harm. We witnessed a ramping up and coordinated defense of a Trump administration policy of separating families seeking asylum. The policy is resulting in children being warehoused in cages and ripped away from their parents as their mothers are told they are bathing. Their mothers are told they are bathing. A Honduran father seeking asylum hanged himself in a Texas jail after his wife and three-year-old were separated from him at the border. Jeff Sessions tells a horrified Hugh Hewitt that this forced separation policy is purely instrumental because we must, quote, send a message to future asylum seekers that if, quote, people don't want to get separated from their children, they should not bring them with them. We've got to get this message out, end quote. As Jessica Winter observes, this is the I only beat her because she made me do it logic that domestic abusers use to blame their victims. No one should be surprised that a White House that downplayed and even defended Rob Porter's abuse of women would trivialize the abuse of women victimized abroad. Women are not real to this administration. They are instead being returned to the stereotypes of supplicants and enablers. Female lawyers are being erased from the federal judiciary and U.S. attorneys' offices. An awful lot of women in America have felt erased since we heard Trump brag about sexual assault and then saw him elected president anyhow. None of us should have expected brutality toward women to be treated as a serious matter by the Trump White House. Most of the women I know are as heartsick about the obscene actions taking place at the borders as I am. I think a year ago we would have been out on the streets. Were the government stealing the children of asylum seekers and refugees and sending them halfway across the country or stacking them up like lumber in detention facilities? But today, I worry we are horrified but numb. We want to be told what to do. I think about this numbness constantly because I worry about normalization all day, every day. Numbness is something thrust upon us, a physical or emotional reaction to external shocks, a natural bodily response. It's also maybe a buffer we put up against the devastation of being part of a group that is constantly told it is worthless and undeserving of meaningful attention. That we are finding ourselves unable to process or act or organize because the large-scale daily horrors are escalating and the news is overpowering is perfectly understandable. But we need to understand that and acknowledge it and then refuse it any purchase. Because to be overwhelmed and to do nothing are a choice. It's a choice and it's also a luxury. Because the asylum seekers at the borders cannot afford to go numb. Female victims of domestic abuse who are coming to the United States to save their own lives cannot afford to go numb. Teen girls denied access to reproductive care do not have the luxury of going numb. I recently had a chance to interview the Reverend Dr. William Barber, one of the organizers of the New Poor People's Campaign and an architect of North Carolina's Moral Mondays. You can listen to the full interview on Amicus. I asked him what the cure is for mass exhaustion and numbness and this overwhelming feeling we get from consuming too much undercooked news. He told me this.
And I would say, before you want to quit, talk to the sister I met in Washington State, who lived in a homeless camp, who came to a mass meeting and said, "I am the white trash that America threw out but forgot to burn. I'm joining the Poor People's Campaign." Or go with me to the two coal miners in Harlan, Kentucky, one black and one white, who told me the real story about what has happened to them and how the union was undermined, and talk to them about why they are joining the Poor People's Campaign, one with black lung, and says because of that, that's the reason he can never stop fighting against racism and against those that would block health care. Or meet Callie Greer from Alabama, whose daughter died in her arms because Alabama governor and legislature refused to expand Medicaid. And she's on the front line fighting back and saying, we have to turn our pain into power. We have to cry until we're heard. Or meet the lady down in El Paso, the mother who had not seen her husband and children for 16 years. She fought with border control until she finally said to them, where is it that I can go and at least touch my husband without it being illegal? And they said, if you walk into the middle of the Rio Grande River from the United States side and he walks from the Mexico side, we'll give you 3 minutes in the middle of the river. And she led us into the river with garbage bags on our legs. We walked in there, we touched her husband and her son she hadn't seen for 6 years, and she's organizing and committed. I would say first you need to focus on the faces of the people who've not had to fight over the last year, but have had to fight a long time.
These are the folks who aren't on the news. They aren't exhausting to us because they're not who we see. They also don't have the luxury of being numb from the news because in some instances, what is on the news is quite literally killing them. It is on the rest of us to filter out anything that allows us to become paralyzed and to see what is real all around us, to take real action, to affect the real lives all around us. It is unfair in the extreme, weary friends, but the fact of the matter is that every time we say we are tired or giving up or tuning it all out in the name of self-care, somewhere a Steve Bannon gets a new pair of wings. Or as Reverend Barber put it to me, we lose only when we get quiet. There isn't a lot we can control in the present time, but as any good counselor will tell you, we can absolutely control how we react to what's going on around us. And this is the scene in the movie where even though you want to fall asleep in the snowdrift, you need to get up and walk around. If you decide to stop swimming and just drift for a while, you're apt to wake up in a land you don't recognize. Because going numb is the gateway drug to acceptance. As David Frum wrote in January, reflecting back on the first year of Trump, quote, "The unacceptable does not become more acceptable if it is accepted by increments. It is only easier to swallow and more apt to wear down our defenses. Don't let other people tell you what to focus on. Choose for yourself. Sure, tune out that which makes you feel hopeless, but hold on to what motivates you to act. Find all the humans you can find who agree with you and make calls and register voters. Because if things continue on in this way for people without funds or with brown skin or for women and children and the sick, there will come a time when we all have fewer choices. This is not yet that time. Get out of the snowbank, find the St. Bernard with a tiny flask of hope, and stomp around like democracy depends upon it.
And that's our show. If you like this episode, be sure to share it with a friend or a coworker or a parent or a brother or even the person sitting next to you right now. Share it and then share it again. And just when you think you're done sharing it, share it one more time. I want to thank Dahlia, who's still doing fantastic work for us, even if she is on book leave. So thank you, Dahlia. And we'll be back later this week with more shows. And until then, I'm Jason DeLeon, and thanks for listening to TrumpCast.